This is Sphinx Radio, exploring the enigmas of the ages and the puzzles of the present, with your host, William H. Kennedy.
Patrice Chaplin, welcome to Sphinx Radio.
Thank you. I'm glad to be on it.
Now, you have a new book out called City of Secrets, One Woman's True Life Journey into the Heart of the Grail Legend, and that's put out by Quest Books 2008. And people can get that on Amazon.com and the Quest Book page, which is the publishing house of the Theosophical Society. Now, Patrice, could you give us a thumbnail sketch of why you wrote this book?
Thumbnail sketch. That's difficult. I'll
sure.
Be honest. The reason I say difficult because there's so much material that is still coming out, you see? But, okay, and everybody thought that when Le Chateau and the Holy Grail and the French priest Saunier was the heart of the story of how this priest got rich and how the Holy Grail came into being in the first place. But the fact of the matter is that Girona in Spain, just across the Pyrenees, is where the material was held and had been for centuries. And in fact, some people date it back, they said, even before known time. So that in fact, probably the people or the beings that were existent then were given this knowledge by, I would say, what should we say, some other planets that might do it. I don't know, because I can't prove it. But this place, Girona in Spain, has held the material for certainly there's records of it being 4,000 years ago they had it. Now, you could say, why didn't they let the material out to people in general? Well, they didn't think people in general could handle it, one. Two, they would misuse it. Three, it could put the planet into a total and absolute horrendous darkness. So it was held for 4,000 years. In the medieval times, the Jews came to Girona and they began a school of Kabbalah. And it was considered one of the most important Kabbalistic centers in the world ever. And Gershom Scholem, the great rabbinic scholar, said that Girona was the center of this Kabbalistic thought. There was nothing equal to it. Now, it's clear from the documents they left behind that they used some of the material which was in the documents. So perhaps it is that the Jews, for a while, held the material. After the expulsion in 1492, it seemed to go underground, and it was thought to be held by certain priests in the church. Now, finally, when I come into the picture, I come in because I went there when I was 15. I was an existentialist hitchhiker. I was one of the first. I left England and I went through France and I was going to go on forever, but I landed in Girona. I never moved on again. And it was then I met the custodian. I met the custodian of this material. I didn't know then that that's what he was doing. He was a poet. He kept alive the local customs. He fought against Franco. He helped people to escape into exile. He was a national figure, an underground hero, if you like. His name's Jose Perez. It was in sometime in the late 90s when I was there with my publisher. I'd written now about 20 books, quite a few of them about Girona. One of them was filmed called Siesta. Anyway, the publisher, for some reason, asked Jose about Rennes Le Chateau, and Jose said, yes, it's very popular, but it's not in Rennes Le Chateau. You'll find nothing there. Rennes Le Chateau is here.
Wow, that's
really where the book began.
That's quite amazing, Patrice. Now, there have been other more popular books like Holy Blood, Holy Grail, and, of course, The Da Vinci Code, which is, you know, the big earth-shattering thing. And I'm a pre-Da Vinci Code writer on this material. I wrote for Daggerbeer's Revenge. Now, which direction do you go in this book as far as the Spanish connection to the entire Holy Blood, Holy Grail scenario?
Don't go near it. It's nothing to do with it. I know Henry Lincoln doesn't like me for having written City of Secrets, but I'm afraid where it goes basically is what they have, what they're holding on to, is the ritual material which transforms into another space, another time. So, in fact, the initiates, and for that you have to be highly initiated or everything will go wrong for you, or nothing will happen, one of the two. The initiates can actually transcend these levels of existence as we know it, and they can pass into what timeless spaces, which have been written about many times before by sages and masters who have also made these journeys, and they come back and record what they have experienced. Without doubt, they've experienced definitely something which is magnificent, because their whole process is changed, their whole demeanor's changed, they're different in all ways, as I suppose I would be, and we would be, no doubt, if we did this journey. I mean, not everybody who's part of the society does this. I mean, they have an initiation ceremony. They have a center up in the Pyrenees near the portal. The portal is the most important thing, actually, about the whole business. But it's near the portal. They have this sanctuary, which has nothing to do with the Roman Catholic Church. People for a while thought it had, and they're developed. They become initiates. They spend many years there, after which they can, on occasion, perform this ritual. There's been a lot of discussion about it in Girona and the environment around, because it's produced visions, it's produced water fountains suddenly appearing, it's produced many signs which the church will not accept, and they've had to close down to some degree what they're doing. I don't think any of this would have come out if the custodians presently, who hold the material, had not become aged, and one of them's terminally ill. And the others have a much newer look at what this material, which path this material should take. They want it out. They don't like secrets. They want the material to come out for everybody to share. And right now, down in Girona and in the Pyrenees, there are a lot of scientists down there, and they're working out on sacred numbers, they're working out on energies, what they can find, the amazing stuff that they're finding about this whole business. It's transformation. It's like an entry for us to go elsewhere and an exit for others to come to us.
So
I hope that makes sense, because it's kind of a hard thing to say in a few words. But.
Sure, it's kind of a mystical thing that's kind of hammered down. Now, you mentioned earlier that for many centuries, since 1492, when the Jews suffered persecution in Spain, this went underground for many, many years. And do you think there's any significant reason why in the early 21st century, the guardians of these secrets are coming forward now? Are we heading towards an accelerated end times? Do they have anything along those ends?
Yeah, it might be that. I feel what they've told me is that they no longer, what they were waiting for was a more optimistic time globally. They have not seen any sign of it. they want to, I feel, part of them want to offload it and send it to the Vatican, where some of the material has been held. Others want it to be buried completely, and others yet again want it to be out. So what I've got, I got given quite a lot of material, especially about the French priest Saunier, because where he got his secret from was Girona. He knew where to go. He found the scrolls and the church and El Chateau. He took them to Sound for Peace in Paris. They were decoded. And he knew, he found out where his predecessor, Abbé Antoine Bigot, had gone and where he had taken some of the material from El Chateau. It's very clear they had, certainly had material there. As far as the priest was concerned, you haven't asked me about him, but I'll just say something about him. I mean, I've been told most of my research has been guided by a Kabbalist, an active Kabbalist in today's world, which is rare. And it's a privilege, most privileged to work to some degree with the Kabbalist. And I was told about Saunier, Abbé Saunier. He wasn't a bad man. He wasn't a grandiose man, as described. He was a man who had work to do. He had to leave a path, a code, for those yet to come. The business for the portal was what he was looking for. The location is very clear because they built two towers, and in the middle, they call it the Golden Cut, in the middle is the point being the peak of Mount Canigou, the portal. Saunier looked for it. I know Hitler was there. He was looking for it, Adolf Hitler. He sent Himmler there. And on a better level, Jean Cocteau, the filmmaker, was there. Salvador Dali looked for it. The portal, that's the key to the whole thing. The key is the portal. And there are other portals on this planet. It's not just there, but each one is different. And it said that what they're waiting for, what the expectation is, that the unmanifest Messiah will appear. That's what they are expecting, that the planet will be sufficiently beneficent and evolved for the unmanifest Messiah to become, well, to be here, to be present with us. That's what it's about.
Now, that's quite fascinating, Patrice. And what do the people who guard this secret think of the more popular expressions of mysticism, like the Kabbalah Center in Los Angeles? You know, you hear about Madonna and Britney Spears and all of this. Prince Charles is kind of into this. What do they see that as distinct from what they are doing, or
oh,
as
completely?
Okay,
yes.
Very good.
Oh, absolutely, because in the in Girona, I mean, let me say that the custodian of the society, José Torres, he was the one who actually opened up the whole Jewish tradition. The whole center was opened up by him in the early 70s, the early 1970s. And all the material, all the documents were still intact. It was like the church had closed it over, but it was reopened and everything was still in place. And the thing which was discovered there, as I said, were the ritualistic documents, which is definitely the part of the material the custodians held for so many years. But the profundity of these experiments, the kind of life they had there, the work that they did, has nothing to do with the kind of Kabbalah which is going on in other places. And in fact, what they call it is pop Kabbalah. They don't consider it to be anything to do with what their city holds. And I feel too that I was told that there are very few Kabbalists actually existing today. Most of them have died off and there have not been replacements. There's rabbinic scholars, but Kabbalists are few and far between. I don't know what will happen, whether more will come, that I don't know. In the old days, it used to be you couldn't study Kabbalah until you were over 40 and you had to be male, but now, of course, it's different.
Right, that's quite a fascinating observation. So a lot of this pop Kabbalah, it is pretty watered down. It doesn't have a lot of substance to it, really. It's just it's trendy, in a fad. And I just wanted to point that out. Now, where do you see the future of this society, and what direction will eventually go, I guess, to manifest this unmanifested Messiah or spiritual New Age? What would be the next phase, I should say?
Well, there seems to be two directions. One would be that there is a private society which is set to rule the world. They would like to get hold of the material. They have for many years. It seems to be a very real group. It's been kind of questioned for about 30, 40 years whether it really exists, but apparently the answer to that is yes. One of the main forerunners of it was one of the Habsburgs themselves, who of course was behind a lot of the research into what Sonia's work was about in 1891. The Habsburgs were always around the material in Girona. The other way is that it goes in the scientific route, and what they've discovered is that the initiates used to have to walk. I guess it would be called a magic square today. Be called a Venus magic square, which reflects the celestial star arrangement. It's the Great Bear and the seven stars. That's the one that they follow. And they have to go through 11 different sites on the journey. They end up on Mount Canigou, and during this experience, they have to shed much of their habits and thoughts and take on much else spiritually that they may wish to or may not. It's a tough trip, but they do it. And it might be that in some way that will be the replacement, the actual experience of going to the portal, and some probably will enter the portal. That seems to be where it's going at the moment. That is where quantum physicists are working at the moment. They're working on these numbers, and they're working on the energy of the portal. And, I mean, you can do all that, but if you don't have a resonance, if you're not evolved, you haven't done the work, you're not an initiate, you won't get anything back. You've got to have a resonance with a portal, or you're never going to go through it. So we'll see what happens with that. It seems to be opening out, definitely. It's not this closed, frightened, rigid, guarded group that it has been for so many centuries.
Now, that's quite amazing, Patrice. So you really don't want to put like an actual date on when these things are going to happen. You're more making observations of this unfolding of this sort of thing.
It's happening now, actually.
Oh, wow, amazing.
They're there now. I mean, I understand it to be a world-renowned scientists, quantum physicists are there in the area, that they have been working for some time. They have been measuring the portal, they have been measuring the energy, they have been certainly working on sacred numbers, of which I know nothing, but they've been working on the route that these initiates took, following the pattern of the Great Bear and the Seven Stars. So really, people, what they would get by doing this would be, if they did that journey, it would be a complete change in themselves. They would become definitely spiritually evolved. They would have some extraordinary mystical experiences, that's for sure. They would be changed, and probably a lot of things like fear and anger and smallness would be gone from them. You know, they would. It's probably a chance to become quite sort of superhuman in some ways, evolved. That is a better word.
Oh, that it's quite astounding, really. This is a very wonderful book, and we're about out of time, Patrice, but I just want to give out the book details one more time. It is called City of Secrets, One Woman's True Life Journey to the Heart of the Grail Legend. It is by Patrice Chaplin, and it is put out by Quest Books in 2008. I highly recommend it. You're a wonderful writer, Patrice, and I couldn't put the book down. I mean, it just flows very wonderfully. You're a very well-crafted writer, and I enjoyed it greatly. And hang on to the line. I'd like to thank you for being on Sphinx Radio, and will you come back again sometime and give us an update?
Yes. Yeah.